Welcome to the August 26, 2021 Academy of Dover Board of Directors meeting. I will recognize that we do have a quorum, and the meeting will begin at 6:05 p.m. Present, we have, in no particular order, just from what I can see on screen, Bishop Thomas, Dr. Fletcher, Mrs. Holmes, Dr. Irwin, Mrs. Comagies, Mr. Hudson, our head of school, Dr. Marinucci, and our PTO representative, Mrs. Murphy. So if we could all pledge of allegiance at this point. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So as you guys will notice, that's probably the worst version of row your boat that we have. All right, thank you all. So as I said, we do have a quorum. I will just state at this point, during our meeting today, we are going to be voting on membership of a new, the prospective board member, Mrs. Murphy, who's joining us. Ms. Murphy did express interest at our last board meeting, as she and I have communicated via email over the last couple weeks, so I just want to let the board No, at that time, Ms. Murphy, I'll probably ask you to excuse yourself from the meeting when we do vote.
Okay.
And I will let you know the outcome of that vote this evening.
Okay.
All right. But please feel free. I mean, please stay on until that point. Everybody should have had a copy of the minutes from our last board meeting, July 29th, 2021. If you have had a chance to read them, I'll entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
All right, it's been moved by
seconded.
Mrs. Comagies and seconded by Dr. Irwin to approve the July 29th, 2021 AOD Board of Directors meeting minutes. With any necessary corrections, I will add, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, the motion, thank you, the motion carries. I don't think we have any public comment. I will just note. I will note nothing. There is no public comment. I apologize. I was looking at something else. We will try, as hopefully going forward, if you guys feel comfortable meeting in person, if you're so inclined, please feel free to join us up at the school at our next board meeting. Now we will move to our financial reports.
Okay, so what is on the screen in front of you, I'm going to make it a tad bigger. There we go. Now let me slide it where I can see it too. There we are. All right, so looking, this is the web funding report. This is the snapshot. And it shows you the different funding lines because this is really the first look at the FY22 funds. I'm going to just run down each of them. So, homeless transportation gets loaded a certain amount based on what we used the year prior. So, it's actually half of what we used the year prior. So, that's why you see a small amount. It's $675, but we do get more money if we do more with homeless transportation. So, if we have students that have a need and we provide for that, we can submit for additional monies in reimbursement. The charter transportation is the next line down. That amount is currently $312,885. That amount will go up. I don't know yet how much it will go up. They do a preload of, I believe it's 85%, and then they kind of, once the unit count is finalized, that number gets finalized. So right now we just went with what was loaded. As for operations, at this moment, our operations amount is loaded at 2.7 million, and is anticipated to be 2.7 million, and we are waiting for 221,000 more to be loaded. That number actually may go up as well, just because our enrollment numbers are still finalizing. The technology grant funds are there. It's almost $8,000 that we can use to support technology needs. Ed sustainment is loaded. That is money that we can use to pay for the nurse or additional staff like the Dean of Students and different ways that we support our academy. The Education Opportunity Grant, that is actually only half of what we will be receiving, but that is the amount that's loaded at this point. And then the same with the mental health reading, that is half of what we're receiving, but it's what's loaded at this point. Child safety awareness, $532 doesn't go very far, but it's something towards a requirement. So what we've used that money for prior is purchasing materials that we can use with students about making sure they know how to stay safe, about talking to strangers and some of the different regulatory requirements that have come through. They actually did provide funding with this one. The sub-reimbursement for family leave, that is a new line. We did not have that in our line last year because we didn't have a need to use it. As you may or may not be aware, the state of Delaware has made it where a state employee is entitled to up to 12 weeks of paid maternity leave. We have three teachers this year that will be using that. So what we've got is a line sitting there because as we are paying for the substitute costs, which we already have the long-term subs, they're already here. They've been working with the students, so they're getting a feel for our academy from the beginning. And so they will, their salaries will be reimbursed to us for the period of time that they are substituting for a maternity leave situation. There's some documentation that we have to submit, but we will be reimbursed for that money. Then you have another charter transportation line and another charter transportation line. So let me explain why. The next one, the $24,000 one, is we took last year's charter transportation. We didn't spend it all. So we were asked to provide what we were going to do with what was left. Part of it, the $24,000, is money that we knew we were going to need to run our summer academy buses. So we carved out that amount of money. That line actually ends, I believe, in September. I have the date on the next report. And that money is almost all used already and we're waiting for another bill. So that money will absolutely get all used up prior to the time that it expires. The next line is the difference between what we spent in transportation last year plus the $24,000, and then what's left over is that $17,745. We had to report to the state that amount of money we wouldn't have a need to spend before September 30th. So that amount of money is available to us to use for transportation costs. It's $17,000. And that money is good for 1 year. So that won't expire until next year when all the other transportation money rolls again and we go through the same process. The last line is operations. This is a brand new appropriation. So at the last board meeting, I was telling you that we had $55,000 of operations money that was left over, and the state accidentally took it. So when the fiscal year closed, they took our money. They knew they made a mistake. They had to then figure out how they were going to make right that mistake. So they have to put back that money. They couldn't put it back into the operations line from FY21 because they had already closed it. So they created a new appropriation they are giving us back that money. It was supposed to have been loaded by last week. It hasn't been loaded yet. We're inquiring as to why to find out and to get the rest of that money loaded. So that encompasses the state funds. Do you have any questions on any of that? Okay. So then going down into the local funds, the cafeteria line is way too low. I know that because that is all just last year's money. We haven't gotten any money loaded for this year, so we're starting with just about $31,000 of last year's cafeteria money. We anticipate getting quite a bit more money for the cafeteria this year because if you remember last year, we operated with about 70% of our students in person, which ended up being about 200 students, a little under 200 students in the building. This year, we have 385. So we're almost double. So, and I can tell you we fill it in a good way. But so we're anticipating that that cafeteria number is going to go up. Last year we budgeted $100,000, and that's about where we ended up. This year I'm thinking more like $160,000 or $170,000 is going to be closer to where we are. But rather than just put a random number, I left it just with what we have so that we can actually do some more calculations around it. The next line down is stipend reimbursement. That's been sitting there for a couple of years now. And then below that, you'll see local funds. That is last year's and the year before's local funds. No local funds have been included in this year. So we should get at least $500,000, probably a good bit more. We might be closer to the $600,000 or $700,000 in local funds that we're going to be receiving this year for our students. So the plan 2 years ago was carry over as much of the local funds as we could. Last year, it was carry over all of them. We did. So last year, this past year, what you're looking at there is 2 years ago, half the funds, and last year, all the funds. The plan is to never spend those funds and to carry over this year's funds so we can keep building up that nest egg to purchase the building or purchase another building. Then you'll see just the basic lines below that that have been sitting there. The donations number is $29,000 because it's just accruing interest. So any of the money in the local fund side does accrue interest. So we have it behooves us to leave money there and to spend that last. Questions on the local funds? Yes.
My question is, you said we're going to just hold the local funds. I guess it's not part of the operations budget for this year.
No, sir. That is correct. It wasn't last year, and it's not this year.
So you're going to set that aside in the hope of being part of a new building plan, new location plan, or purchase plan.
Yes, I'm going to change one word from hope to plan.
Okay. All right. Good.
Okay, absolutely. And then you'll see our federal funds. Title II, Title I, IDEAB, those numbers are from the FY21. And those amounts do go away in November. So most of them are spent and absolutely will be spent. So primarily the Title I and the IDEAB are salaries. So that will go away. The Title II, I think we have $270 left. So that will also be easy to spend. And then you see the School Emergency Relief Fund. This was the second round of the COVID money we received. The first round was gone last fiscal year, so that money is not on here. But this is what's left of the second round of the COVID funds. And then the next line down is the 1.027. That is actually 1.5. They just haven't loaded that last close to 500,000. So we're going to put it on there once it's actually loaded, but not until then, just to make sure. I don't want to count on getting money and then something happen and we don't. So the next line down where you see the 574,000, that's what's left of our 750,000. And it's actually spent down quite a bit just in the past month because that's when a lot of the bills came for some of the bigger purchases we made, like having new smart panels in all of our classrooms, a lot of new technology, more Chromebooks for students, charging carts, all kinds of things that have a pretty big price tag. And then you'll see the MCI. There's MCI money from 2 years ago that we did not spend, and there's MCI money from this year that we did not spend, that just got loaded that we haven't spent yet. So you'll also notice that it changed. Why did it change? It is based on the students in our building. So it's based on the number of students we're supporting. You'll see, and it's always based on the year prior. So the money that we'll get next year is going to have an even bigger jump because we went up by over 100 students this year. So going up by 50 students, went from 38 to 52, going up by 100 should be a pretty nice jump as well, is by my calculations. Questions on any of that? Okay, and then I also want to make sure to point out that none of the federal funds for this year are loaded because they haven't, are on the sheet because they haven't been loaded as of yet. They will be, but they should be there by next board meeting. So the all funds total number is going to go up quite significantly next board meeting and likely the one after as we receive additional funds. Below that, you will see, if I can, there, my mouse keeps disappearing. Okay. Below that, you will see the summary, where it breaks down all the different categories. You'll see that we now have a contingency line of $1 million. That is the $776,000 plus. It's going to go up higher as we continue going on. We also have $689,000 in unallocated funds, even after we pay all of what we need to pay. So we are in a very healthy financial situation at this point. Questions on any of that? Okay. So moving on, this is the larger, I'm going to just slide that over a little bit, there we go. This is the more comprehensive picture of our funds. This is the, I call it my one-stop report because it shows me everything I need to know. You will see the exact same fiscal year appropriation description, FY22 budget, receipt to date, percent received. That is all exactly what you just looked at on the other report. What you did not see was the encumbrances, expenditures, balance that you now see on this report. So you will see there's two dates that I have colored red. They're kind of a pinkish color on the report that you're looking at. That is because those are hard and fast dates. The state puts end dates on things to end in a fiscal year. Most of the time it's June 30th. Sometimes it's not until November or September. But those two, June 30th, 2022, really mean June 30th, 2022. If we don't spend every penny of it, it reverts. So I have them tagged red just so that I have a mental note to make sure we spend that money before we spend other money if we can for the same purposes, because we certainly don't want to hand money back. The rest of the end dates that you see where they say June 30th really are going to carry forward into, they'll change over to June 30th of 2023 next year, will roll over again. The other one, the $24,000 charter transportation line has a 9/30/2021 end date. That's accurate. So, but you'll also notice we only have $3,000 left to spend out of that fund line. So we were pretty good at estimating what would be left of the transportation amount. The other, I think the rest of it is pretty self-explanatory. If you have any questions on any of that, I'm happy to answer them. Yes, sir.
Question. Actually, I have two.
Okay.
The technology block grant and the educational sustainment fund, they have hard dates. Are there any limitations on what you can spend on those?
So the technology block grant is obviously for technology and infrastructure type expenses. We usually are able to spend that pretty easily on purchasing computers or purchasing the supplies necessary to run our school. $7,700 does not go very far in the term of technology. So that's not too difficult. The Ed Sustainment Fund is a bit more money, $58,000. There are rules around it, but they're pretty, it's pretty broad. So we can use that for salaries. We can also use that for supports for students. So it's pretty open and it's pretty easy to spend that amount of money as well.
How about for staff and training, something of that nature?
I would need to verify on that. I believe you can, but I'm not confident to say yes. We actually, currently, we have it allocated for salaries. So that is how we pay for our part of our the salary of our dean of students, as well as our nurse.
Okay, very good. My last question.
Yes, sir.
I know there's a line way down in the third block that's called DE Charter Expansion, about $574K.
Yes.
What's that?
That was the $750,000 grant. It's that's how much we carried over for this year.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay.
All right. Thank you.
There's one more. Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Now on to the expenditures.
Sorry, I
that's okay. So the expenditures lines. We have looked at last year's amount that we spent in order to create the budget for this year. We are 8% through the year, one month through the year. And we've got our salary lines at the top part. We do have a cushion for some increase in salaries there. We will be, once we have finalized the unit count and our funds, I will be coming and asking the board to consider giving salary increases to our staff. I think they work hard, and I think they are the reason we are being as successful as we are. So if we can afford to do it, I think it's the right thing to do, just to prepare you that. But I'm not ready to ask for that until we have our unit count finalized and we know what our numbers really are. Then you'll see the contracted services lines. Those, again, are right in line with either what we spent last year or what we anticipate spending this year. The supplies and materials lines, as well as off capital outlay. And then, again, you'll see that same unallocated amount and the contingency reserve at the bottom. And ironically, we are exactly at 8% expended. So I think we've done a fairly decent job of setting the budget as we have right now at the beginning of the year, because we are exactly 8% expended at 8% in the year.
Now you go.
Any questions on the financials?
Dr. Marinucci, yes. You mentioned about the budget and potentially coming back later on asking for increases in the salary. Do you know at this time whether or not the salaries for the teachers there at the academy are competitive with the other salaries of teachers in the area?
We're getting closer. We're not quite there, but we are getting closer. We are not funded the same. So we receive 70% of what the traditional schools receive in funding in an overall kind of broad look. And the expectation of the, and the reason for that is that the local funds will support the other 30% of salaries. Not all school districts are operating at that same way. So everyone has the same state scale. But different schools do different things on the local side. So some are at 25%, some are at 30%, some are at 40%. So it depends on how rich the district really is on where they are in salaries. What we do have, though, is a salary scale based on the state salary and then a plus of 25%, which is where we are. So we're approaching, and we do have some of our people that have been here for a longer period of time at a 30 or 35% scale. So we've been able to get much closer than we were when I started to having people at a salary that is more competitive. We also offer an environment that you can't beat. So, and I will tell you, for any position that we have hired for this year, we haven't had a challenge with finding people. And I know my colleagues in other places are absolutely struggling to find staff. We are fully staffed. And for most positions, we have 50 to 100 applicants. I mean, it's unreal. So it's overwhelming to have that many people interested in coming here. And once somebody comes here, they are bringing five of their friends and saying, oh my gosh, you need to check this out. So which is the best way to go is the word of mouth and people saying this is really an awesome place to work.
Awesome. Oh, thank you.
Great. Any other questions? All right, so I'll just add that, I mean, we've been committed to salary parity for a long time, and I'm glad we're in the position that we can finally get the ball rolling. I'll now entertain a motion to approve the financials.
So moved. Second, Ed.
All right, it's been moved by Bishop Thomas, seconded by Dr. Irwin, that we approve the financial report as of, believe if I get this right, as of July 2021. Uh-huh. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right, the motion carries, and I'll also note that Dr. Marinucci may have mentioned it, but I just want to say it again. We are at 384 pupils at AOD now. So we have grown by leaps and bounds exponentially. So that is a beautiful thing. And the staff has worked hard. So we need to do everything we can to when the time comes, as Dr. Marinucci said, to make sure we bring some parity to their salaries. All right. We will now move on to the principal's report.
Okay. So we welcomed our students back yesterday. Staff came back a week ago, Monday. We had our new staff come Monday and Tuesday. Gave them some time to get acquainted with the school and us, and sit down and have some time to check out their space, to think about their curriculum, to talk to them specifically about who we are and how we go. Because our staff that has been here kind of has a way of going, and we know, but we wanted to make sure our new staff was brought up to speed before everyone came back. So on last Wednesday, there was a ton of energy in the building as all the staff came back, and lots of laughter and cheers and celebrations and excitement. So we were nonstop with professional development all of last week and into the beginning of this week. And then yesterday, students came in. It was incredible. I will tell you, we had a lot of car riders. We were pretty much backed up down to the Food Lion Shopping Center on one side and down past the Hamlet on the other. It was a big line of cars coming through. Yesterday we did an immediate pivot after we realized how much traffic was trying to come in the building and how backed up it was. We moved the entry and dismissal door up to the side of the building so we could get more cars off the street and in our parking lot and in the loop of dismissal. So we dismissed out of a new door yesterday afternoon without practice. But we got it. We had more transportation upset yesterday afternoon than we wanted. But we also had over 100 more students in the building than we ever had before. So the difference between 200 students or 185, I think, students last year in the building and 285 students in the building this year, as well as a lot of new staff, was definitely... definitely gave us some time to reflect. We spent many hours here until 8 o'clock last night going over everything, making sure that we had it all polished again, because we weren't satisfied with the way dismissal went yesterday. It took too long, and we ended up having a bus have to come back to get some students, and that's just not our bar, and our bar is higher than that. We know it. So yesterday, or this morning, the arrival was beautiful. It was just smooth and quick, and the parents were really shocked at how quickly we pivoted, but that's the way we do it. And dismissal also went much, much better. It's hard to predict where the problems will lie. You can run through it all you want, and then you don't realize that you need more people down this hallway instead of this hallway. And so we, as a team, we all come together and we just move things around as much as we need to make it work, and then we identify the next place that we can make it better, and we just keep on going. So I think by the end of this week, well, which is tomorrow, we will have it quite polished. We do have quite a few new staff, but that's not because we've had a lot of people leave. It's because we've grown so much. We had one teacher choose to not return this year, and that was because she lives in New Jersey, and it was a long way to drive every day. So we can't blame her. She did it for a year, and that was quite a long time for her to commit to driving that far. I know her heart is here, but she lives there. So that's the only teacher that actually left because she wanted to. So then the rest of the staff is really new because we've just grown. But we've got lots of practices in place to make sure our students are safe, to make sure our staff is safe. We do have procedures in place where I am aware of who is and who is not vaccinated as far as our staff goes. It doesn't need to be out with everyone else, but I am aware we are wearing masks in the building when we have students around, which is part of the governor's order. Staff that are not vaccinated are going to participate in regular COVID tests, which is what we did last year anyway, so it's not an abnormal thing for us to do. It's quite easy for us to do it, actually. We were so used to doing it last year that it's no problem to pick it up and keep it going. We do have two classrooms temporarily in the gym and cafeteria. If you have been in the building before and you walk in, you'll be like, wait, what happened here? The cafeteria and gym look very different because there are temporary walls up around, but the classrooms actually turned out pretty cool, and the teachers are making do and the students are doing really well with it, and that's just waiting for the new building to come. So they are in the final stages of permitting. I have personally talked to the people at Delgat to find out where we are and to move the process along, and they know the importance of getting our students into the new building, so we are just waiting for that process to finish. But we are excited. We've got really powerful procedures and processes in place across the academy for building relationships, as well as for ensuring that we have really strong instructional practices in place and a regular review of our data. So that is my report.
I have a question, Dr. Banerjee.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, first I would like to thank you, and also I would like to make the board known. I was there on the open house, and it was really great. I like the way you spaced the classroom. The classroom was spaced. All your teachers were, all of them were on masks. They were wearing masks. I like that. My question is, for those unvaccinated, are they going to wear masks or not?
For those that are vaccinated, yes. All people have to wear a mask when students are in the building. That is the governor's order. Okay. So vaccination status doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's an excellent question, Dr. Irwin. And we talked at our last meeting about coming up with a policy regarding vaccinations and masks. I've spoken with Dr. Fletcher and Mrs. Holmes. And so we're going to just draft something that mimics exactly what the governor's mandate is calling for. So the three of us will work through that and present it to Dr. Marinucci, so she can ensure that her staff is complying as well. So thank you for bringing that up.
All right.
And I think, you know, we're doing something similar on campus as well. Go ahead, Dr. Fletcher.
Yes.
I recognize Dr. Fletcher.
Yeah, two questions. I'm glad you brought that up, because I saw the day that the Capitol School Board voted on changes to the policy on vaccination as well. For those that opt out, how easy it is to get either a health variation or religious variation to not having to take the vaccine. So, I mean, it's certainly are looking at the closest community that we have. The capital district. That might.
No, it's the lawnmower outside my office again.
Okay. All right, I thought it was me again. Okay, fine. Okay, so that's something that we certainly want to look at. I think most attention is down to the school district, our neighborhood, the sort of stuff right in the middle of it. So we want to at least have some consistency. My second question is, you did mention that the long line of cars, official 100 students, arrival. About how many of our students come in by private auto compared to those who arrive by bus? If I see a potential catastrophe group.
We were able to get the cars off the road really quick today. We had them through much, much faster. It was just a matter of moving where we're doing the arrival and dismissal door. It's hard to tell at this point in the year. On the first day, a lot of parents drive their children, even though they traditionally ride the bus. So it's more normal to have more car riders at the beginning of the school year than once everything goes into effect. Parents like to see their children off at the first day of school, and those that can drive them do. So we have, I would say it's at least 2/3, if not 3/4 of our families that do provide transportation that are car riders. It's more this year than we've had in prior years. But I don't know if that's because parents are just used to last year they transported because of the challenges with the number of students we could have on a bus. But we've put the information out to our students. One of the things that was definitely slowing things down yesterday is we temperature check every child that comes in before they get out of the car. So we actually put more people on the line of going around and temperature checking in the cars, so we were able to get that done a lot faster. We had the car rider line done within, I'd say, eight or ten minutes from start to finish today. So it was a much, much faster way of going. And one of the things that slowed us down yesterday morning was we have six buses that pull up in the front circle, which means they're double stacked, so you can't get out until the buses are out. So this morning, as soon as a bus got to the school, we unloaded the bus and let the kids in, even though it wasn't 7:45. That way we could clear the exit, so then when it was time to bring the rest of the car riders in, we were able to move it very quickly.
That's what I was asking. How flexible can we be?
We are coming up with everything.
Out in front of the school, a lot of cars. That's a pretty dangerous intersection. Cars coming from down one way on Salisbury, making the left turn.
Yes.
Those cars the other way, making the right turn. I've driven past them many times in traffic. It's gotten a little crazy. And I just would not want to. What I would probably like to see, maybe we could ask the transportation department, they can come with some ideas to help us with the egress and exit out of their door certain peak times when the schools come in. I don't know if you've already done that, but they're doing construction around you and things like that. So there's a whole lot going on because of our unique location.
And I will say, part of the requirement for the transportation, DelDOT, for our new building to get approved is to put a turn lane in on the shoulder coming into the academy. So that's already in process.
Okay,
good. That was a good idea, though, Dr. Fletcher, because I'm thinking, like, when I come down State Street, if you come down early and going down State Street, you know, Holy Cross, they have traffic guards out there, you know, like in their vest and everything that are directing traffic. You know, because that area is hard to get out. Once you get in, it's hard to get out. And I think you'll have that same problem in the academy. That area is a very common area for accidents. I'm up and down past there one day not too long ago. One guy slammed into the back of a car and he was out on the road, but it was really bad.
I did push on DelDOT about having a crosswalk and more supports and more signage, more blinking lights, and they said that they only will do that if there are people, students that are actually walking to the school.
Okay.
They sent me the regulation also, that stops them.
Yeah, yeah, but that's good too. But when you come out, as you're going through our driveway, when you come out, maybe having a sign up there saying no left turn. You have to go right and then that one. Yeah. Because that pulls up the whole show.
Yes.
That's the accident choke point right there. And that spot right
yes.
there.
Yes. Yeah, and that's a well.
I definitely know for that.
Yeah, that's a well stated point, Dr. Fletcher. And I think if we look at some of the schools that have been recently built in the last 10 or 15 years, the idea of a crossing guard has kind of disappeared unless it's a school with walking traffic. You rarely see them anywhere except, as Ms. Holmes said, I only see them down by Holy Cross now, but I know at North Dover that traffic gets all the way down College Road, and I've seen many near misses with people trying to turn or someone being nice trying to let someone in, but then it a car that can't see him in another lane is just an accident waiting to happen. So.
And there's a crossing guard in Brooklyn T right there on Forest Avenue. So that
right, because of the traffic. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of walkers
there. You're correct.
You do have. Okay, yeah. I made my point. Shut down. Thank you.
All right, so we will. Thank you for your report, Dr. Marinucci. We will work on getting together that policy. But just so we reiterate, those folks that do get some type of exemption or do not have the vaccine are being tested to make sure that they are not COVID positive. We'll now move on to the teacher's report.
Do I need to mute so it doesn't?
No, double? You're good.
Okay.
Am I muted here?
No, you're muted here, but you can.
Oh, just
talk. Hear you.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I understand.
I was gonna say we are on our second day, so we're excited to have the kids back. It's really kind of cool having full classes again and not having to juggle between hybrid and or remote and in class. They're all in class. They're pretty good about wearing their masks. They are excited to be here. They're excited to see all their friends. They're chatting it up and so excited. I don't know what else. We're exhausted, but we're living through it. I am working on getting training so that I can provide mentoring for the rest of the staff that needs it. And I think that's it.
All right. Thank you, Mrs. Cummings, and that was Mr.
I got a question from Ms. Cummings.
Okay.
I got a good question. My mind is focused on.
All right, let's hear it.
How many of our teachers are still in their mentoring phase? Big deal. Making certain that the new teachers were assigned with mentors and that thing. How's that going now?
I actually am in the process of being trained too, so I'm going to go through training, I believe it's September 13th, and then that'll show me how to work through deeds and get the proper training there. I told the staff just be ready to hear from me, but in the meantime, I'm just ready to learn too, so I'm doing everything that I can until that point, and I'll let you know. How about that? I'll circle back.
Yeah, and we should have a couple more. I think there are a few more teachers that are just like you in mentoring phase. I think it's a 3-year program.
It's a 4-year now.
4-year.
Yes. I was grandfathered in. I'm old enough to say that.
But you're the lead mentor. Right.
Yes, but I'm the lead mentor for the whole school. So I just make sure that everybody's doing what they're supposed to do and everybody gets what they need and we're supporting everybody the best way we know how.
Very good. Thank you so much.
All right. You got it.
And that was also our assistant principal, Mr. Hudson, you saw coming in and out of the in and out of view, but he's just off camera.
I'm here.
But he's here. All right. We will now, thank you, Mrs. Cummings, for your report. We'll now move on to our parent-teacher organization report.
Murphy.
Ms. Murphy. I'm thinking of Dr. Irwin.
Anybody can do it. Anybody. First, I just want to throw my 2 cents in. These guys have done an amazing job with drop-off and pick-up. And I hate to use this analogy. It's like little mice running around. I watched them this afternoon, and I was so impressed, as I always am. So my hat's off to you guys. For the PTO, I have been getting together quite a few things, quite a few ideas. I'm looking at possibly 3 fundraisers for the year. Anything from pizza to cookie dough. I'm sure a lot of us remember Jim Corby's, which I have not seen in forever. So I'd like to do one of those. Plus, we have cookie dough candy. And I'm putting these right around certain times of the year. Like, first one I'd like to run, probably the run the middle of September to the end of September. So I will get the flyers and everything ready for that, so everybody has an idea as to what's going on with that and getting them out to the students and the parents. For the fall, I was actually speaking to the vice president of the PTO. We came up with an idea. It may or may not fly, so it's still kind of in the beginning stages of doing kind of like a fall harvest type thing. Baked goods, anybody that does crafting type things, for sale items, any type of games, attractions, things like that. Maybe like a small hayride. I know we have the little corral that's back there. I'm not sure if we could utilize that, maybe bring in a horse and do a little bit of educational type thing for the kids. Because I remember seeing the pictures from last year, and I know they loved it.
Yes.
And probably one of my favorite things to see is kids with animals.
I know someone with a horse.
Huh. Or 5.
Since we're not here.
So I just thought that would be a really good idea for the fall. Kind of bring back that old feeling of, you know, family getting together during the fall. Maybe some dunking for apples or pumpkin carving, anything like that to just bring on the season and get everybody together and get everybody excited for, you know, the holidays that are coming, because they really are not that far away.
Yikes.
Other thing too, I was looking, there is actually a website, it's called National Today, and it literally points out every single day on the calendar there is a certain holiday. So there's a literacy day, there's backpack awareness day, pepperoni pizza day, different cute little ideas. Like today is National Dog Day. So anybody with a dog, give your doggies up. So I just figured maybe picking out a few days and coordinating to kind of celebrate those days. I know most of the younger kids will get more into it than the older ones. But it is definitely an idea. Other than that, it's kind of where I'm at right now. The last thing I have, and Dr. Marinucci, I'll get this to you. I don't even know if you can see this. I wasn't able to get it in the email. It's just something that I'd like to give to the teachers if they get a second to fill it out. And it just tells us a little about them.
Nice.
Names, birthdays, colors, favorite scents. To kind of personalize any gifts throughout the year, or just random things, what their favorite drink might be, candy. So I'll get copies and stuff made, and then have that handed out, so the PTO can start doing something like that.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so
You're
much
welcome.
For that report. And Mrs. Murphy, it sounds like you are doing an awesome job, but unfortunately I'm going to ask you to sign off now. But thank you so much, and I will be in touch with you in the next 15 minutes or so.
Okay,
it's been real.
Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Alright, so as you all know, Mrs. Murphy expressed interest in joining our board. Like I said, I have been speaking with her over the last couple weeks. She is going to remain as the PTO president as well. But I told her, you know, if she gets stretched too thin, She'll have backup, I guess, with her vice president and other folks. But she will also be our parent rep as well on the board. There is one other person who I've not yet heard from, but who will, who has also expressed interest from the community, who will send me her resume or CV at some point. But I would now like to entertain a motion to vote on Ms. Murphy's membership as a board member for the Academy of Dover.
I'll make a motion.
All right. It's been moved by Mrs. Comegys. Do I hear a second?
I second.
Okay. We have Dr. Irwin and Bishop Thomas. That we will now vote on vote on Mrs. Murphy's membership onto the Academy of Dover Board of Directors as the parent rep, but also remaining as the PTO president. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Any abstentions? No. And I don't think there, I think it was unanimous. So I will get in touch with Mrs. Murphy after this meeting and let her know. Any announcements from the board members? All right. If you all have a chance, drop in to the school, see what's going on. I think Mrs. Murphy's idea of doing some kind of fall festival would be great. Get the kids outside before it gets too cold. And like I said, I know someone with a couple horses. None of them talk, so we won't have Mr. Ed up here. But I think it would be cool to have them there if we can have them there with the horse. I don't know how tough it is to transport. I'm making promises to people that I
know.
But
we can have horses.
We're in the business of making things happen.
Yeah, they'll make things happen. All right. Hearing no announcements, I will now entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. I second.
All right. It's been moved by Dr. Fletcher, seconded by Bishop Thomas, that we adjourn our AOD board meeting at 6:56 p.m. on August 26, 2021. Before we adjourn, I will announce that our next board meeting will be on September the 23rd at 6 p.m. So please note that on your calendars. All in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
All right, we are off the record. So just a reminder,